Malachi chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. From the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, saith the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruits, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. You disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery, and what is lame and sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you help me to get through this properly. Father, you're great and almighty, and we know that incense is a sign of prayer, and so we're offering your prayer to you in praise. And we know that we are the grain offering, that Jesus is the first fruits, and we are the fruits that's following after that. We're the grain offering. Father, I ask that you find us acceptable and encourage us through this to follow your will and to be an example of you to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, what I just read in Malachi, what's going on is we're at the end of the Old Testament period. The people are getting disdainful. It's like, oh my gosh, it's a bother. I've got to walk all the way to Jerusalem and drag this lamb that really doesn't want to go. And since I'll just get me a lame lamb, nobody's going to notice anyway. Because like I said, there was 250,000 lambs offered by count during the Roman times. 250,000 on one day, the Passover sacrifice. So the Levites would all come in and they would do this. So there'd be so many people sacrificing, they thought, oh, well, nobody's going to notice if I don't bring the best of the best anyway. And he says, and you sniff at it, you have disdain for what's going on up here. And because of that, I don't find you acceptable coming into my presence, since you don't think I'm worthy of the praise and the service that belongs to me that you signed up 4 years ago. And actually, he even says later on, I wish that there was somebody in this congregation that was smart enough to go up there and shut them temple doors so that nobody could bring an offering to me, because I disdain your offering. You think I'm bad, I disdain yours. And because of that, I'm going to take this message of the gospel, which we know is the gospel of Christ, to the rest of the world, and those people will pick it up and they will be glad to offer praises and sacrifice in my name. Now the rabbis, you know, Jerusalem, they finally closed that temple in 70 AD. The Romans attacked and with their hordes came down and smashed the place down, prying it apart, trying to get all the gold out of it. And so the place was wiped out just like Jesus said it would be. So after 70 AD, they could not, even if they had wanted to, made a true sacrifice, one that was legal. Because to have a proper sacrifice in the Jewish Old Testament, under the terms of the Mosaic Law in the Jewish Old Testament, they had to go to that temple. They had to have the altar of sacrifice, the bronze altar. It had to have the Levites and the high priest there carrying out the work of the altar with making the sacrifice, keeping the fire going, and all the ritual that had to be done. And when that temple was wiped off, there is no way, there is no place that the Jewish people today, starting at that time, can do an actual legal sacrifice before the Lord according to those terms. So the rabbis even came to the conclusion that the only way to make any kind of a sacrificial offering to God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Moses, the only way they could do it would be to do something sacrificially, or to do something to benefit another person. And the reason I have to say it this way, something that would benefit a person, because you could say, well, I gave sacrificially, and I know people that did stuff like this. Take a $100 bill and I burn it. See, I sacrificed it to the Lord. I no longer have it. It's burnt, therefore it's sacrificed. That is not a sacrifice to the Lord. That is just throwing something away. I know people seek to sacrifice to the Lord. You have to give it to another person so it's beneficial to the other person. Well, why is that? Well, because We're to do a service to God, and God doesn't need a glass of water. God doesn't need lamb chops. God doesn't need a tossed salad. He doesn't need a loaf of bread. But when we do something unto a person, on behalf of a person to benefit that person, you see, that can count as doing it unto the Lord. If you do it in His name, you say, I'm doing this unto the Lord, therefore I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it in His name. I'm offering you this cup of water or this loaf of bread, whatever. I'm giving it to you in that way. And the reason it can count is man is made in the image of God. And while God Himself doesn't need this, you're recognizing the stamp of God upon a human, upon a person, and saying, I can't benefit God, but I can benefit this image of Him. I can encourage that person to come closer to the Lord. I can encourage that person. You see, Satan, one of the reasons, we've talked about this before, but one of the reasons he despises us so much is because we are made in the image of God. He can't attack God and destroy God. So the best thing that he can do is try to mar us and cause us to come to failure. And as the image of God, every time we stumble and fall, he's going, look, God, your image is failing. Your image is failing. And that's why Christ came, was he made his sacrifice to help us to be successful. So whenever we encourage somebody, or you know, we give them the water so that they don't die of thirst, or food so they don't die of hunger, whatever we do to encourage them and lift them up, we are on Christ's side, and we are encouraging people to succeed, not bringing them down to failure. So this rabbi in the 1700s even came to this conclusion about helping people out. The rabbi, this is not a Christian person, remember that. This is a rabbi. Thinking through the process, he said, if you have given a cup of cold water to a person, you should be so happy that you had the opportunity to serve the Lord, to serve the image of God, by just giving that person a cup of cold water. You should realize that you have a reason to dance and be happy for 70 years. How often do you get a chance to benefit God? Not very, but whenever you get a chance to benefit one of God's people, one of God's, the image of God, and you have a chance to cause that person to be successful or raise up above his means or his misery, then you had this chance to do a service to God. Even the rabbis recognize this as a spiritual way of giving back to God. This sacrificial giving, sometimes in the Old Testament and in the Gospel section, remember the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four Gospels are the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with it, just to cancel it out and say it's over with, but I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, those things that was spoken of by Moses and the prophets. I came to fulfill them, to complete what was required there. So he came to complete what was required. So during that period of time, there's different times that God has called upon people to do something, and it actually seems kind of mean whenever he called upon them. There's Elijah, he was hungry. God says, you go up to this widow, can't say the name, it's somewhere up there, you go up there and you see her, and she'll take care of you. So he goes all the way up to see this lady, and the lady says, oh, well, all I have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I was going to mix that together, make me and the kid here one last meal, and then we're just going to sit here and starve to death. And the guy says, I'll tell you what, God sent me here. You mix that meal together and you give it to me, and I'll eat it. And okay. Now, if I've got my story correct, the most amazing thing about this is she's a Gentile. And yet, she says, okay. Now, she might have done it out of this way. What if I, you know, die of starvation 6 hours earlier or 6 hours later, according to this little loaf of bread I'm going to eat? You know, come see, come saw. Yeah. If your God wants it, he can have it. She did. And didn't that sound mean of God to require that of her? And she did it. And then you got the story of the little kid. You know, Jesus is out there with all this multitude of people, and he said, hey, let's feed him. And the little kid goes, all I've got here is these two fishes, these five loaves of bread. This is it. And Jesus takes the stuff away from the kid. Now, if you was Mavis, can't you hear this lady? Now, I'm making this part of it up. This lady named Mavis standing there going, uh-huh, look at that. There's the guy, the charlatan. Now, I knew he was that way. He took the food away from that little boy, and he's going to eat it. And his disciples are going to get something. Here, all of us are starving. And he took that little boy's food away from him. I'm going to find an authority. And she storms off looking for somebody to complain about what Jesus, the charlatan, has done. And she misses the miracle. But the whole point of all this stuff is God sometimes requires us to give sacrificially, and then as that is an opportunity for God to bless us. God says, because you had faith, this is a way of God's paying back a loan. You loan me that flour and oil. You loan me those two fishes and the 5 loaves of bread. You loan those to me. He's kind of a banker in reverse. He says, I'm going to pay you back with interest. God always pays back, and He's more than just. He lavishes on His children, upon His people. He lavishes. After all, it's contract. You loan it to me. Now I'm going to pay back to you with interest. Just way over the top interest. And the lady, the widow, and her son managed to eat. That box of flour never ran out. That bottle of oil never ran out. The entire time the rest of the people were starving with famine, her son, and that prophet had plenty to eat using that flour pot, F-L-O-U-R, and that oil jug to make this food. The little boy got to stand there and eat all he needed, because it says that everybody was satisfied. He got to eat all that he needed. He got to see the miracle of all these other people enjoying his fish and his bread, and all this food left over. God way overpaid all this stuff. And while it seems harsh, it turns out that this is God's given opportunity to these people to be blessed. God places in our paths opportunities also. We can do it grudgingly, which then it won't count as a loan to God because it was given grudgingly. But if we are people who are glad to help out, glad to share that cup of water, even we can receive those kind of blessings. In Matthew, it talks about if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, that person who gives that water will receive the prophet's reward. You know, you say, I give this in the name of Elijah. Well, then you would receive Elijah's reward because he told you out to go out and do this, and you did it. Therefore, you will receive an award for it. And that award says, will not be taken away from you. If you want to secure some blessings in heaven, some rewards in heaven, then you give things away to people, especially if the Spirit prompts you. You bless people in a way so that God can say, you gave that in the name of Jesus. There's always this little caveat, both in Mark and in Luke, this little phrase at the end of, and they will not lose their reward. It will not be lost. God will remember that you bless somebody in His name. The one, I think, in Mark even says it this way. If some person gives you a cup of water because you are one of mine, because you're a Christian, that person will receive a reward and it will not be taken away from them. Years and years ago when I was 18, I was down in the hills of Tennessee and Virginia. I was going to this little shouting Baptist church. Oh yeah, they shouted. It was an amazing place. You couldn't sleep if you wanted to. And after the service was over, this minister wanted to give me something. And to this day, I don't know what it is. But I remember what happened. I said, oh, no, no. The guy, you know, he was one of those people that didn't have two nickels to rub together. And he had kids. And they lived in a house. Yeah. And I said, oh, no, that's all right. I appreciate the offer. But I couldn't take this away from you. And he jumped on me flat-footed. He said, you take this. Don't you ever turn anybody down when they offer to give you something in the name of the Lord. Because what you're doing is denying me the blessing. I'm wanting to give this to you, and I'm trusting the Lord to bless me. Because He said, if you give something in my name to a person, they will receive, you know, that person will receive an award, and it will not be denied them. It will not be forgotten them. He said, from now on, if somebody gives you something in the name of the Lord, you take it because you're denying them the blessing. Amen. And to this day, if somebody walks up and they say, I want to give this to you, and it's related to the church or related to Christianity or something, I say thank you very much. Now, what I do with it might be, you know, I can give it on to somebody else. I can do what I want with it. But I'm trusting the Lord to bless that person. It's not that I'm greedy. It's just that that guy jumped on me. And to this day, I haven't forgotten that it's the Lord that's going to repay those people. Now, this is stories from Doyle, you know. I baptized this lady. After it was over, she said, "Now, how much do I owe you for that?" "You don't owe me nothing." And she said, "Oh, you had to come all the way out here, and then you had to baptize me, and I know that it's proper to pay somebody for the work they've done." And I said, "You owe me nothing. I'm not taking any money off of you because I didn't earn anything." I refused her in that situation because she was wanting to pay me as though I had earned it. Now, if the lady had said, "I appreciate, and here, I appreciate what you did and giving it to me in the sense of I'm blessing you with this," then I would have said, "I appreciate it very much," and then I would have taken it and given it to somebody else. Once again, not that I needed it, but I wanted her to receive the blessing. Now, a negative example of this is the opportunity that was given to one of Isaac's kids. Isaac had two kids, twins, Esau and Jacob. According to the rules, Esau was the guy that was to inherit the promise of Abraham, was to come down on Esau. But in Genesis it says that he despised his birthright. The better way of saying it in our modern English is he didn't value it. He did not value the fact that he was going to receive the promises of God that God had given Abraham, had come down to Isaac, and he was like, "I'd rather have that pot of beans right now than to have that promise of God thing going on, because it might not happen for years and years in my life." Now, as time went on, we know that he saw the mistake that he made because he lost his birthright, he lost the blessing. And when it came right down to it, and his brother Jacob got the blessing and the birthright, and Jacob takes off because he knows Esau's figured this all out, finally, at the light dawn. Esau had missed this opportunity that God had given him. He could have been the man. Instead of talking about, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we would have been saying Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But he missed his opportunity. He did not value the promises that God had given him. So when he came to his father and he said, "Father, I'm here to receive the blessing." And the father said, "It's too late. I've already given the blessing. And it went to your brother." He cried. "God," he cried, and he cried, and he said, "Dad, isn't there at least something left that you can give me? Isn't there some kind of a blessing that you can put on me? I mean, have you given everything to my brother? Did you give all the blessings to him?" And one time, Isaac basically says, "Yeah, he got it all." But he keeps crying to his dad, and finally his dad says, "Okay, this is the best I can do for you." And he puts his hands on his son and he says, "Esau, you and your descendants," is the way it's working, "you are going to be a wild ass among men, and your hand is going to be against everybody's, and everyone's hand is going to be against you." Translated into English of our day is, "Esau, you're going to be a jerk. Nobody's going to like you, and you ain't going to like anybody either. And that's the best I can do for you." Now, Esau had the opportunity of being one of the blessed of God, and yet he did not value that opportunity. God blesses us and puts across our paths opportunities to be a blessing to someone, and it can be literally just as easy as saying, "Oh, here's a cup of water. Let me buy you a Coke. Let me buy you a hamburger." And I'm not saying you have to give it to everybody that has a sign that stands along the road. I was in Chicago a while back and I heard somebody says, "I need some money. I need some money. Give me some money so I can go get drunk." Well, at least the guy's honest what he's going to do with it. I did not give him money. But You know, I'm not saying that that's what's to be done, but when you have the opportunity and you know it is going to benefit a person, an image of God, then go ahead and bless them. Bless that person, because we have this promise that God is going to reward us, not necessarily within 10 minutes or 24 hours or even a day or a week, but we need to be unlike Esau and say, that promise that God has given us has value, and I value the promise of God over an instantaneous self-fulfillment of getting a pot of beans. I can keep this money and buy myself a hamburger, or I can spend this money and buy that person a hamburger, and I'm going to trust God to reward me. The money will go to that person, and God will reward me. Maybe not just me. It could be that the reward that you're going to reap will be your children or your children's children or your great-grandchildren down the line. This blessing that came to Abraham was passed right along, and it's still being passed down through the generations of the Israeli nation. The Jewish people, if you wonder about this, you can prove this by looking at the Nobel Peace Prize or all the Nobel Prizes that are awarded every year. You go back over the history of it, and more prizes have been awarded to the Jewish ethnic group than any other ethnic group on the face of the earth. God is still blessing those people because He said, your children, your seed will be a blessing to all the world, and they are still reaping the harvest because Abraham believed, because Isaac believed, and because Jacob valued that birthright so much that he cut a deal just to get that birthright. He gave up his supper or his lunch so that his brother could eat, so that he could get that birthright. And that birthright is still being honored among the children of Israel. Now, we are also, according to the book of Galatians, we are the spiritual seed. We are like our father Abraham in the sense that he walked by faith and God said, I declare you righteous. We are called in the same way to walk by faith and to value the promises that God has given us. And we walk by faith, and He said, you're just like Abraham. You are a child of Abraham. You walk by faith, trusting in my promises. And therefore, I declare you a child of Abraham. And since we are related to Abraham in that way, we also will receive the blessings that God has promised Abraham, that we would be a blessing to all the world. And I want you to know, the Christians of this world have been a tremendous blessing to the world. I was reading about cannibals in India, and the person wrote this, says this two or three people are the last of this particular tribal group in India that practiced cannibalism, because they tattooed their face to prove that they had done this. And when they hit about 13, 14 years old, it was part of their initiation into the tribe. They had to go out and murder somebody and then cook them and eat them. And once they did that and they had the proof, you know, I guess a bone or something, they walked in, they'd give them this facial tattoo. And the person said, this was carried out for centuries until their region, you got to listen to the way it's worded, until their region was invaded by Christians. And I went, that breaks my heart. They made it sound like we were the bad guys. This guy's killing and eating people. And we were the bad guys because we Christians invaded their territory and taught them about Jesus Christ. If it hadn't been for our invasion of their territory, they might have ate that newsman. I have mixed emotions about that at this point. We're getting a lot of bad publicity when actually we have benefited the world over and over again, not because we're good, but because Christ is good, because God is good to us. There was a man speaking to a Jewish gathering of rabbis and leading Jewish people, and he stood up in their congregation and he just bluntly said this, I ask you this, is it better for you to live under the rule of presidents who are professed Christians and make an effort to live according to the Christian teaching? Or are you living a better life under a president who doesn't follow Christianity's teaching? And the Jewish people said, just went dead silent in that room. They even recognized that it's better to live under an imperfect president who is dedicated to living out the principles of Jesus Christ. When we take the promises of God, that promise of if we beneficially sacrifice something, even if it's just as small as a cup of water. How much does a cup of water cost you? You can buy a bottle of water for 50 cents down at the local grocery store. So even if you paid for it that way, 50 cents, you can give somebody a glass of water, and God says, I will bless you. When you walk in faith expecting Him to bless you, and that opportunity is there, God will bless you, and through that, God will bless this church, and through that, God will bless this community, or whatever community you're living in, and through that, God will bless this nation, and then it will go on to spilling over to blessing the world. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. There's no favoritism in Him. He does not change. He is committed. He is just. He will do in your life and in this church's life supernaturally, majestically, when we trust in that word, whenever it's between us and a limitless God as it's there and His almightiness as we stand there in His presence and we do something, that opportunity is there and we act on that opportunity and we say, God, I trust You. God will say, that's my kid. That's my kid. Let us trust in Him. Let us always call out and say, God, give us the wisdom to see the opportunity and to take advantage of it. Because as we help, God will bless us. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You right now for every opportunity that's been given to us. Father, we're sorry about the ones we've missed, but cause us not to miss the ones that's coming today and in our future. Encourage us always to be sacrificial, even in the small amounts like water. Father, we ask that this opportunity would be made manifest to us because we want to see Christ glorified and lifted up, because as You honor Your promise, other people are going to see the work and the majesty of Christ and the great things that You do for Your people. All glory and honor to You. Keep us safe. Bring us back together and heal the people that need to be healed. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.